Whistleblower website WikiLeaks says it will publish the last batch of classified documents on the Afghan war within weeks.
Those 15,000 documents, line by line, because we viewed that they were more likely to contain names. And so those names have been reviewed and redacted where appropriate. So it should be approximately 2 weeks before that process is complete. There will then be a journalistic review. So we're talking two weeks to a month.
Well, Assange says the WikiLeaks will be working with media partners in releasing the remaining documents. He's told reporters in the Swedish capital Stockholm that the Pentagon has had a series of demands from his organization before the documents are gone public.
Destroy our archives of classified information relating to the Pentagon. The second demand was that we destroy all future publications relating to the Pentagon and classified information from the US government. And the third demand was that we stop dealing with US military whistleblowers.
Well, however, WikiLeaks insists it will not be threatened by any group. Meanwhile, it says some countries, including Australia and the UK, have been gathering intelligence on the organization. This comes after over 70,000 secret military files about the war in Afghanistan were published last month. The files showed the U.S. military was covering up some civilian deaths at the hands of foreign forces. A U.S. drone attack has left at least 13 people dead in Pakistan's northwest tribal region. The drone apparently fired two missiles at a suspected militant compound in northwaziristan's Essori village. The U.S. has carried out numerous such attacks on Pakistan's tribal areas. About 1,000 people, mostly civilians, have been killed over the past 2 years. But Washington claims the strikes are meant for die-hard militants. Islamabad has repeatedly condemned the attacks, saying they violate Pakistan's sovereignty. Another day of massive protests in Indian-controlled Kashmir. Two people have been killed and dozens more injured in fresh clashes between police and pro-independence protesters. The new demonstration took place in defiance of a strict curfew in many parts of the region. Police used tear gas and in some cases even live ammunition to disperse the crowd. The new rally came just a day after four people were killed in similar demonstrations. The recent surge in anti-India rallies began after a teenager was killed by police in June. Overall, 57 protesters have died during 2 months of unrest. The United Arab Emirates has criticized Germany for releasing an alleged Israeli agent. The suspect was accused of being involved in the assassination of a Hamas official in Dubai.
Yuri Brodsky from Israel was extradited to Germany on Thursday. He was arrested in Poland in June on suspicion of obtaining a German passport for a member of a hit squad that killed a Hamas official in Dubai back in January. The passport was issued to a man named Michael Bodenheimer. Brodsky was expected to appear before a court in the city of Cologne on Friday, but Cologne prosecutor released him on bail for an undisclosed sum and said he was free to travel. He said the case against Brodsky was not strong enough.
The suspect is free to travel wherever he wants while judicial proceedings against him continue in Germany. However, he could face spying charges if he leaves Germany and later returns.
United Arab Emirates was quick to express concerns over Brodsky's release. UAE's foreign ministry said Brodsky is now free to go to Israel while his case is related to a serious crime committed in Dubai. Top Hamas official Mahmoud al-Mabhouh was assassinated in his hotel room in Dubai in January. Dubai police accused Israeli spy agency Mossad of the killing. It named dozens of foreigners, seemingly from Germany, Australia, Britain, France and Ireland, whose passports had been used by members of the hit squad. The assassination triggered a diplomatic row, but was never pursued by the international bodies. No charges were even brought against Mossad, that is the main suspect behind the killing.
Lebanese security forces have killed two members of the Fatah al-Islam group in clashes in the eastern Bekaa Valley. A key leader of Fatah al-Islam was killed along with an instructor who allegedly provided military training to the group. Local media say the men were followed from the Palestinian refugee camp of Ain al-Hilwa in southern Lebanon to the eastern Bekaa Valley. The two men reportedly opened fire when security forces attempted to arrest them. Fatah al-Islam fought the Lebanese army at Nahr al-Bared refugee camp in northern Lebanon for 3 months back in 2007. The clash has left some 400 people dead, including Lebanese troops. And watching the news here on Press TV, quick check of the headlines this hour. The Afghan president asks the U.S. to review its war strategy to reduce civilian deaths. American drones attack Pakistan's tribal areas, killing over a dozen people. The UAE slams Germany's release of an Israeli suspect in a Dubai assassination. And in the United States, police say four people have died in a New York shooting. Still to come here on Press TV, the U.S. president visits Florida's oil spill hit Gulf Coast again. Now, a shooting outside a restaurant in Buffalo, New York, has left four people dead and four others injured. One of the wounded is in serious condition. Police say the shooting happened when the victims were leaving a private party inside the restaurant. The incident is under investigation as there's little known about the shooters and their possible motives. But witnesses say an argument or fight at the party could have led to the gun attack outside. Well, our correspondent in Washington, Colin Campbell, earlier told us more about the shooting.
Well, the shooting did happen really early in the morning, and police say it could have erupted out of an argument because that's what witnesses may have been saying, that there was some kind of quick discussion, there were some outbursts, and then people heard gunshots. That, of course, made people scatter. There were people coming from outside, back inside of the restaurant, looking for cover. According to reports, no one knew where to go, but it all seemed to erupt from the sharp words that were exchanged. Of course, the conversation hasn't been documented yet, so we don't know the details coming out of what that conversation was. We're also to understand that one of the victims was to be married that same day, and we're not sure whether or not this person is connected to the argument that may have set this all in forth. There are three victims pronounced dead at the scene. Another one was outside. The dead included two men and two women.
U.S. President Barack Obama has traveled to Florida's Gulf Coast with his family in an effort to show solidarity with the residents of the region.
Oil is no longer flowing into the Gulf. It has not been flowing for a month. And I'm here to tell you that our job is not finished, and we are not going anywhere until it is. That's a message that I wanted to come here and deliver directly to the people along the Gulf Coast.
Well, Obama urged tourists to return to the Gulf Coast to help revive the economy of the region, which was hit hard by the oil spill. He also said he would continue to pressure BP to speed up compensation claims. 11 workers were killed and over 5 million barrels of crude spewed into the Gulf of Mexico as a result of an explosion on a BP rig on April 20th. It devastated the coastlines of Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, Louisiana, and Texas. Now, the head of Russia's nuclear agency says the nuclear facilities in Sarov region in the country's west are still threatened by wildfires.
The fire is constantly coming to us from the territory of Mordovsky Nature Reserve, and until they put it out completely, the risk for Sarov will remain.
Well, the remarks come after new wildfires broke out in Mordova Republic, located in the eastern part of Russia's European region. The blaze that started in the region's nature reserve has spread quickly towards the nuclear research center in Sarov. The region's emergency ministry says the fire covers 1,000 hectares and it is still not under control. However, Kurienko reassured that there is no threat of nuclear contamination in the area. Meanwhile, the overall situation has shown signs of improvement as the number of fires across the country has reduced to a quarter since the fires began. And after about 36 years, Iran's first nuclear power plant in Bushehr is about to get fired up. Press TV's Gisu Mishamadi reports.
The countdown has started for Iranians who are looking forward to a very special Saturday coming up, as the Russian nuclear agency officially announced it will begin loading nuclear fuel in Bushehr plant in southern Iran on August the 21st, a step that marks the launch of Iran's first nuclear power plant.
The fissile material will be inside the pre-reactor storage facility. From this moment, this nuclear reactor will be officially classified as a nuclear energy installation. This event symbolizes the completion of the testing phase and the beginning of the phase physical launch.
The IAEA will be supervising, and Russia will be providing and taking the fuel back. What Washington says shows that, quote-unquote, Iran does not need its own enrichment capabilities.
That's a pretty extraordinary remark, because in fact it's the other way around. Once you have a nuclear power plant, you need nuclear fuel. And Iran's experience over the last three decades is that Iran simply cannot rely on other countries to do things for it.
Can they really trust the international partners or the foreign partners? Because these foreign partners come under U.S. pressure, and they normally give in to U.S. pressures.
The power plant in Tehran, the experimental reactor in Tehran, which produces medical isotopes for cancer patients, we have problems right now purchasing uranium enriched at 20%, the fuel for that power plant.
Iran is moving toward full industrialization. There are a lot of new factories coming online. There are a lot of cities are being built. And Iran, seeing this need, has announced that it's going to build 10 new nuclear power plants. And these 10 new nuclear power plants are going to need energy, are going to need fuels.
Iran currently produces 42,000 megawatts of electricity. And considering the country's growing needs, Bushehr power plant is considered only a first step.
Over the past 6 months, all the necessary tests have been successfully carried out. The nuclear power plant is now ready for physical launch, and the reactor will be linked to Iran's electricity grid 6 weeks after its inauguration. But this is not just a 1,000-megawatt power plant. It's a symbol of a nation's fight to exercise its legitimate right to acquire nuclear technology for peaceful purposes. Gisun Shahmadi, Press TV, Tehran.
And that was our latest headlines and impressive news. Stay tuned, though. More news coming your way.